We headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back. It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here. This is the second segment. We're bringing to you James Franklin, calling it Franklin Speaks. I think that's temporary, or maybe it's permanent. I don't know. We're going to listen to what James Franklin had to say after the blue-white game, and we're just going to interpret and discuss where he's coming from and what we saw with our own eyes before we talked about Tommy Stevens. The quarterback situation, obviously, talked about Dan Chisena, him getting awarded a scholarship, and really just the general feel of that wide receiver depth chart and where he might have a role, if any, in that. So on this one, we're going to hear what James Franklin had to say about Noah Cain and then also Keaton Ellis. So two true freshmen, January enrollees who are making an impact, I think, behind the scenes, and then we saw at the blue-white game. So let's start with Noah Cain, who had a very nice game plan on the white team, the white team of reserves against the blue team. A lot of first-teamers on defense. Let's hear what James Franklin had to say about Noah.
On a different note, I thought Noah Cain did some nice things today. I thought we're going to watch the tape, and probably sometimes he rushed his cut and things like that, but what he did is he was decisive. He stuck his foot in the ground. He got downhill. A lot of times his runs aren't overly sexy, but he's just breaking tackles and falling forward. That is very productive. So I haven't seen the stats. I don't know what he, 41 yards, 5.1 yard average, pretty good. And he did a lot of that with the second O-line against the 1D. So I thought that probably was impressive.
Okay, so the first item I would bring up here is that I don't know what question Franklin was answering to begin with, but he brought up Noah Cain on his own for starters. I know somebody asked a follow-up question a little bit later, so he saw enough from Noah Cain to want to force that. And that, not that it was going to come up anyway, but James Franklin was moved in some type of way by what he saw from Noah Cain. What did you see from Noah Cain?
A guy that runs decisively with power and with speed, and that will, for all of that, because he has all those abilities, he will factor into the running back picture this fall. I don't think that we had any reason to doubt Jaylon Sider, the running back's coach, when he said that would be the case, but certainly after watching Saturday and then rewatching it on Sunday, I mean, that his skill is clear. I know he caught a touchdown pass late from Sean Clifford. That was great. One thing that really jumped out at me is Ricky Slade, Noah Cain, and Journey Brown all being involved in the receiving part of the game with Sean Clifford and Will Levis. I think that obviously, at one point Noah Cain flipped over to the other team, the blue team, played with them for a little bit, which signals more that he'll play. But, the thing I would say is that I thought Miles Sanders could have been used more out of the backfield as a receiver, and I think maybe Jaylon Sider and Ricky Ronnie are being conscious of the fact that they haven't maybe done that as well last year as opposed to what they did with Saquon Barkley. So I'd expect to see the running backs more involved in the pass game in 2019 as well. Noah Cain's going to be a part of that, so is Journey Brown. So we'll see Ricky Slade work out of the backfield too. This is going to be a three-headed monster for Penn State. It's interesting because I think there's a lot of people out there that are of the opinion and of the school of thought that you should have one running back and don't play the hot hand game and all that, and you might be in that category. I don't know. But to me, I think it's okay to rotate your guys and keep them fresh. At some point, you have to know who your hammer is. When it comes down to it, fourth quarter, tie game, you need to move the ball. Who is the guy you want to put out there? I get that. But I don't think there's anything wrong with using all three of these very talented guys throughout the course of the game to get to that point either.
So you said a few things that I'd like to kind of chime in on. Number one, it's an interesting thought here to think about. We've spent a lot of time talking about the wide receivers, and as we should. I think this is a group that has a lot of ability. It skews towards the inexperienced. It's a group that isn't prototypically built when you think about the fact that your top two wide receivers are so small, and how do you utilize those guys. I think Jahan Dotson plays bigger than his frame. I think KJ Hamler is just a handful no matter what. Mm-hmm. But eliminate those for a second, and let's just introduce the idea that we're going to have a first-time starting quarterback. We're going to have what looks to be a pretty bona fide strength with Pat Freiermuth and Nick Bowers, and you look at the fact that you've got – really three guys out of the backfield who are capable of catching it and making some plays that way. It's not unreasonable to think that the Penn State offense skews a little bit more towards the middle of the field and utilizing not only running backs but tight ends more too. I think it's fair what you said that Jaywan Sider probably looks back and maybe there's some a missed opportunity feel to it. When the wide receivers were so erratic and inconsistent and had the drops and couldn't get open a lot of times to keep kind of forcing the issue with some of those guys as opposed to checking down and seeing what Miles Sanders could do. I think that's all fair. So I'm interested to see if that part of it marks a philosophical change for Ricky Ronnie, for James Franklin, for how the offense tends to go. I think there's a good chance we see that happen.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. Just real quick, and to further that point, I think that, you know, CJ Holmes did some nice things, but to me, it just feels like anyone expecting him to have a huge role. The former Notre Dame player transferred in last season, of course, had to sit out due to the NCAA rules. He will be eligible to play this year, but to me, I just don't know if I can see I don't know if I can see him having a huge role at all in 2019.
That would be a big leap, a big stretch, I think. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking about Blue-White Weekend. We heard from James Franklin, his thoughts on Noah Kane and the running back. So we're discussing his remarks now. The segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com. A lot of good stuff. If you're looking for that ultimate tailgating experience, food, drink, tailgate a whole weekend, it kind of speaks for itself. You can check out what they have to offer if you look ahead to the 2019 season. Never too early to start planning your travel for these games. You can check it all out at gopsurv.com. The other point that you mentioned was the idea of, you know, the philosophy of having a number one guy, of mixing and matching, and having a committee type feel. I am not against the committee feel at all. I'm for when it comes to wide receivers. I think you have to have certain designations. You have to have, okay, in crunch time, I have my go-to guy. Yeah. And I think that's a healthy dynamic. You can make it unhealthy by targeting a guy too often, which, mm-hmm. you know, you see that in NFL offenses, I think, a little too much. But when it comes to the backfield, what I think about the committee is, and mixing and matching the hot hand, what it does is it does shift an additional burden to Ricky Ronnie and the coaching staff to utilize that and be able to have guys stay in rhythm, be able to have guys know their role as crystal clear as you can, be able to react accordingly in game. I think it creates a management task in game that some teams don't have to contend with. It's easy, I think, to have your number one running back, to feed your bell cow. You know who's on the field for a majority of the snaps. You know yep. how you're using them. When you have three guys with three different skill sets, it's an opportunity, but it also creates an opportunity to mismanage those guys. So that is what I would say about, like, I don't think it's inherently a bad thing to be able to mix and match. I just think that Ricky Ronnie needs to be able to do that in a really good and healthy way. And he's got guys based on situations, based on roles. Like, I think Ricky Slade, to me, is the most complete of the running backs in terms of being able to run inside, run outside, catch the ball out of the backfield. I think you saw Noah Kane has more power than the rest, than Journey Brown and Ricky Slade, and knows how to use that. But I also think, you know, looking at Blue White, Noah Kane made the first guy miss. He is probably the, to me anyway, when you look at the bottom half of his body, the best equipped to run through arm tackles in the open field. Not that those guys can't force missed tackles, but I think Noah Kane with that physicality to him. And I think Journey Brown is your home run threat.
Yeah.
What you heard from James Franklin about Noah Kane was that he's not he used the word sexy. His runs aren't going to be sexy, but they're going to be consistent. He's going to fall forward. He's going to be physical. He's going to run through guys. But at the same time, what I saw was a guy who can make the first man miss, which is huge for a running back. So all of that is to say that all three of these guys deserve to have a role. It's really hard to say, you know, forecasting into the summer when Devin Ford arrives. He's the odd man out, right? He's got to be right now. How is he going to jump all these guys Agreed. In the pecking order? So he looks like a redshirt candidate to me.
Yeah, I think so. And keep in mind, too, that it's going to be easy to forget about this, but you can still play in four games in a redshirt. So I think Penn State will go that route, get his feet wet in September, save him for a couple games late in the year, and there may be one game late in the year and then the bowl game.
And I think it's safe to assume, even before this, that Penn State is not going to redshirt Noah Kane.
Correct. Yeah, there's no chance.
Okay. Another freshman who arrived in January who turned some heads, I think, for similar reasons, maturity, but also dynamic playmaking. He's a guy who wasn't really highly regarded on the recruiting front until late in the cycle, but Keaton Ellis from State College, you saw him. Not a lot of opportunities for that white team to make a lot of big plays, but they seemed to like him a lot, and James Franklin addressed Keaton Ellis after the game.
I think so. You know, Keaton's been very impressive. You know, graduated early, been on campus. You know, he's really did a good job in the weight room. He can run. He's got length. He's gotten stronger. And I think, you know, we like to recruit DBs who play wide receiver and vice versa. And he's a guy that's got really natural ball skills. You saw that in high school. And that showed up. He was able to make a bunch of big plays on the ball. He's confident when the ball's in the air. A lot of times you have to coach guys through that. Some guys panic when the ball's in the air. He's very confident. He's very comfortable. He's very relaxed. So, you know, as you guys have heard me say before, it's easier to get on the field the further away from the ball you are. And he kind of checks all the boxes right now. So he obviously has to have a great summer, but he's put himself in a really good position to compete for significant playing times on special teams and defense.
So there's not a lot left open to interpretation there, right? And
right.
he listed out all the boxes, and then he said Keaton Ellis checked all the boxes. There is the, you know, the logistical from our vantage point. Okay, if he's moving up in the depth chart and giving himself a chance to play valuable snaps on defense, who's moving down? And that's probably a different question for a different day. But the fact remains, to hear him say confident, mature, it believes in himself when the ball is in the air.
Mm-hmm.
He can run. He's strong enough. You know, they list him at 5'11", 180. That's fair enough to get on the field as a true freshman. Boy, it would be a huge upset. I know James Franklin said he had to have a nice summer, but it would be a huge upset if Keaton Ellis isn't somewhere in that cornerback rotation. And the question is just where and at whose expense.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit down the rotation. He'll play a lot of special teams, but you know, Donovan Johnson has to get healthy. So, but you know, Tariq Casualfields, John Reed, Donovan Johnson, those are your starters, and then there's spots open behind those guys. So I think you'll see Keaton Ellis and Marquise Wilson slide into those roles. Maybe one of them will play more snaps than the other, but for Penn State, they have two super talented guys. And we go back to what Terry Smith said about Keaton Ellis back on the December signing period when he said this guy has the tape of one of the best corners in the country. And of course, he's not going to come out and say, his tape is horrible. It's really one of the worst that I've ever seen. But I think genuinely, he believes this kid would be higher rated. And we've talked about it. He's a state college kid, maybe overlooked by the recruiting services because of it. Didn't have a lot of the offers because of it, but super, super talented.
I think both of these guys' ball skills are in the name of the game. So there you go. That's our wrap from the blue-white game. Just be sure to check us out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com and download the Keystone Sports app.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA-preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.